Got back to the seat this morning at Landmark, and Amos said, "Daddy, you're sweaty." And it was going to be bad tonight if it stayed 75 in here, so I hope y'all don't mind. Hebrews chapter number 8, it's good to be in the Lord's house, and I appreciate you for being here. And thank you, Brother Joe, for giving us this opportunity, and hope to maybe be able to say something, be a help to you tonight. I think what's already been done, what's already been said, kind of goes along with this. At least it will help us anyways, I hope. Hebrews chapter number 8, just for time's sake, we'll just read the first two verses. That's really what we'll deal with tonight anyways. And then we'll go to the Lord in word of prayer. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 1. "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man might have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law." We'll stop at verse 5. "Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shewed to thee in the mount." Let's do verse 6. "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." Father, thank you again for this privilege. Thank you, Lord, for this time. And I just ask you, Lord, for just a little while, you'd help us just to be able to say what you want said, nothing more and nothing less. And Lord, I can't do a thing without you. I need your help. I need your touch. I pray, Father, you'd open up my eyes and help me to behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open my understanding that I may understand the scriptures. And open my mouth that I may speak as the very oracles of God, as you give the ability. And Father, I pray that you would, Lord, remove the hindrances and distractions from my mind, and let me just be able to focus for just a little while on that you have for us from your word. Help us now, we pray, and we'll give you the glory and honor and the praise, for it's in Jesus' name and for his sake we humbly pray. Amen. 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 Thank you for standing. I won't take the time really to set the stage much here. Most of you are familiar with the book of Hebrews and who it is that is being written to. But he says this in verse number 1. He says, "Now of the things which we have spoken," the things that we've already spoken about, "this is the sum." And that gives us the idea of what Paul is doing, is summarizing what he's already said. And what he'll tell us about is what he's already told us is chapter 1, he talks about the deity of Christ. Chapter 2, the humanity of Christ. Chapter 3, Christ's superiority over Moses. Chapter 4, his superiority over Aaron. And then chapter 5, he'll talk about the everlasting priesthood. And when he's dealing with the superiority over Moses and the superiority over Aaron, Cody, could you cut down the house just a tiny bit? What he's talking about when he's dealing with that superiority is he is talking about his priesthood. And the fact that he is deity, absolute deity in chapter 1, and he is absolute humanity in chapter number 2, he says that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. He can be merciful because he knows the feeling of our infirmities. He can be faithful because he is the Son of God. And so what he is telling us in this is, he says, first of all, that this is the sum. And he'll tell us what we have in Christ. We have a high priest in verse 1, a minister in verse 2, a sacrifice in verse 3, a mediator in verse 6, a promise in verse 10, mercy and forgiveness in verse number 12. But what he says is this is the sum. That's not just the summation, but it also means this is the critical point. This is the main point. And that main point is this: we have such an high priest. And for just a minute, that's what I want to talk to you about. If you'd pray for us and Lord would help us
that we have such an high priest. We have this manner of high priest is what he's saying when he says we have such an high priest. We have what type of high priest is it that we have? First of all, he says this, we have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. He is set. He is seated. That's a truth that Paul will make mention of four times in this epistle. He'll tell us that he is seated. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He is seated at the right hand of God. He is seated at the right hand of the majesty. He is seated here at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. He is sitting down. And you contrast that with the priest, the earthly priest, in chapter number 10. In verse number 11, it says this, "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God." That the priests that ministered in the tabernacle, he said they stood daily ministering, offering sacrifices. The work was never done. And that's what that seated speaks of, is it speaks of accomplishment. That what had to be done has already been accomplished. The work that needed to take place in order for us to have a hearing in heaven, the work that had to take place in order, Brother Ed, for us to come into the presence of God, the work that had to be done, the ministry that had to be accomplished, the things, the sacrifices that had to be made, I'm glad, thank God, that Jesus, knowing all things were accomplished, said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I'm glad he didn't give up the ghost before he knew it was all accomplished. But once everything was completed, once everything was done, once the sacrifice had been made, I'm glad, thank God, it was accomplished. And Jesus, as he ascended back to the right hand of the Father, he didn't stay and go in daily in and out, but he walked in one time, having made one sacrifice for sin forever, and took his place, seated at the right hand of God. It's been done. I was reading about the Day of Atonement this afternoon and found out, Brother Joe, that there was something that was always having to be done. That priest, before he could go into the Holy of Holies, he had to wash, he had to take a bath, and then put on clean linen clothes. And he'd go in with a sin offering and a burnt offering. And then he'd take the offerings for the people, and he'd take those two goats, and he'd take a burnt offering. He was constantly having to do something. And they say that the people would wait outside on that Day of Atonement as the priest has entered into the holy place, just to make sure that everything was done right. If he didn't do it right, God would strike him dead. If he didn't do it all right, the people's sins would not be atoned for. And so they would wait and they would watch with bated breath, waiting to see, has he done it all right? Has he finished the work? But thank God, our high priest, we have such an high priest, who is set on the right hand of the majesty on high, because he did the work right. He accomplished what needed to be accomplished. There's nothing that needs to be added to. There's nothing that you and I can do or can help to do. But he sacrificed. He offered himself a sacrifice for sins. And when he accomplished what needed to be accomplished, he sat down.
Yes, he did.
Now, I miss this. The first time I studied this, but him being sat at the right hand of the throne of God not only speaks of accomplishment,
come on,
but it speaks of attendance.
Oh yeah. Good.
Leviticus chapter number 16 is the institution of the Day of Atonement. And God said this in Leviticus 16:2. Speaking to Moses, he said, "Speak unto Aaron thy brother that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, that he die not."
Yeah.
So Aaron and his sons, the order of the high priests, God said, you tell them not to come in just any old time.
Yeah.
There was a set day.
Yeah.
And there was a set way.
Yeah.
For them to enter into the presence of God.
Sure. Thank you. Come on.
But ours is set.
Yeah, that's it.
Present tense.
Oh, yeah.
Right now set.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, come on. That's it, brother.
May the 22nd, 2022, 533 is set.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We can come
at the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to look for a sign that says the priest is in. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
There you go.
You don't have to wait for the...
Yeah,
y'all like Krispy Kreme, hot donuts now? It ain't worth going if that light ain't on.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to tell you, you ain't got to look for the light. He's there. He's seated. He's at the right hand of the throne of God, daily making intercession for you and I. I'm glad to know tonight we've done been to the throne of grace three or four times just in this service. And every time we found our high priest set at the right hand of the throne of God. He's always there. He's always present. And when we go to the Father, He's there to make intercession for us. He's in attendance. He is set. But not only is He set, but He's set at the right hand. That speaks of acceptance. Not only that priest have to do everything right, but the offering had to be perfect and acceptable.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Ain't you glad for this?
Oh, yeah.
If you as a Jew came to the priest, Brother Ed, he didn't examine you.
Come on.
He examined your sacrifice.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Amen.
Ooh, that's good. Come on. Go with it.
Can I say that?
Yeah. Amen.
When you came to try to get to the throne of grace, the priest wasn't looking at you, Lance, to see if you measured up, see if you made the cut. He was looking at your offering. Amen.
That's good.
Bless His name. And tonight I'm telling you, when I come before the throne of grace, if He'd examine me, I'd never get in. If He'd look hard, take a long hard look at me, if you took a long hard look at me, I'd never make it in. But thank God He don't examine me. He examines my sacrifice. And Jesus is my perfect sacrificial lamb. Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. And because He was accepted, thank God, Brother Dwayne, you and I can also be accepted.
Amen. That's good, brother.
See, they said He's a blasphemer.
Yeah.
They said He casts out demons by the prince of devils.
Oh, yeah.
They said He ought to die because of our law. He's made Himself God. But what God said is, that is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. What God said when He raised Him up is, He justified Him in the Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
What God said when He lifted Jesus up out of the tomb was that He put His mark of approval, His stamp of approval upon the message and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And God accepted Him.
Amen. Right.
And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter number 1 that He's made us accepted in the Beloved.
That's good.
I ain't accepted, Brother Mike. But Christ is. But you know where I am? I'm in Christ.
Yeah.
And because Christ been accepted, thank God, by virtue of His acceptance, I'm accepted. Amen.
That's good, brother.
In fact, Ephesians chapter number 2, Brother Dwayne tells us, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. But He said this, and He hath raised us up together and made us sit together, in heavenly places in Christ. And so everything that's true of Christ seated at the right hand of God, it's true of me too.
Amen.
Because that's where I am. I'm in Christ.
That's good, brother.
Now you don't see me there. You don't see me accepted. You don't see me justified. You don't see me glorified. And when I looked in the mirror this afternoon before coming over here, I didn't either. But you know what matters? God sees me accepted. And God sees me in Christ. And God sees me justified. And God sees me glorified.
Amen.
In Christ, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It speaks of His acceptance. He was accepted, and because He's accepted and I'm in Him, I am also accepted. So we have a high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne. It speaks of His authority. See, these Jewish Christians, they're being persecuted by the Roman authorities and by the Jewish authorities. But Paul's reminding them there's an authority over them.
Oh, yeah.
And that's our high priest.
Yep.
And he's in control of this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And he sets up kingdoms and he brings them down.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't long after Paul penned those words that he brought that down.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
He's in control tonight.
Yes, he is.
He, Gold City, he used to sing a song. He's still on the throne.
Oh, yeah.
So what could be wrong?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank God he is still seated on the throne.
Right.
And I'm telling you tonight, right now, he's in control. Joe Biden ain't in control. I'm gonna leave that where it lies. The Democrats aren't in control. The Republicans aren't in control. The House and the Senate aren't in control. The Supreme Court's not in control. Vladimir Putin's not in control. Thank God Jesus Christ sits high above the heavens. He is the one that is seated on the right hand. He is the one that's in control of this thing. And tonight when I go in prayer to the throne of grace, I'm going to somebody that's got the authority to do something about my problem.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to somebody that can change things. Oh, bless His name. Bless His name. I'm going to somebody who always keeps His promises. I'm going to somebody that don't just talk about it, but He does it. I'm going to somebody, thank God, Lance, that can change circumstances.
Amen, brother.
When I come before the throne of grace, we have such an high priest. This is the main point. This is the critical point. Is that when we, as feeble and as weak as we are, thank God when we find ourselves on our knees, we can find because of the priest that is ever in attendance for us and has been accepted in our place and now has the authority, I can go and come before the throne of grace and know that my prayers will be heard by somebody that can change things.
Amen, brother. That's good.
He's seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. That speaks of His ascension. His ascension reminds us that He first descended. That's what chapter 2 is all about. Chapter 1, He is so much higher than the angels. Chapter 2 has made Him a little lower than the angels. Chapter 2, I believe it's about verse number 18. It says that because He hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them who are tempted. He's able to know what we feel. Chapter number 4. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Brother Stanley, He knows what it is. When you're tempted, you can come to Him because He's been tempted. When you're struggling, you can come to Him because He knows what the weakness of the flesh is. When you have trouble, you can come to Him because He knows what it is to face trouble. Brother Joe was preaching on the humanity of Christ last Sunday night. And I like what you said. You said that every once in a while, as you read through Jesus' life, you see deity step out. But you know what I also like is that as you read through Jesus' life, you see humanity on display. Right? So that when the disciples are on the ship, Brother Stanley, and they are tossed to and fro and struggling, you see the humanity of Christ as he's tired and weary in body and lays down in the hinder part of the ship and sleeps. But then you see deity step out. When that tired, weary Jew walks out on the bow of the ship and says, "Peace, be still," and the winds and the waves lay down and stop. He knew the storm that they were going through because he was going through it too. But bless his name, he not only could relate, but he could change it. And he could step out and stop it. Amen. You see his humanity when he must needs go through Samaria. And he sits down on a well because he's tired. But he sits there long enough for a wretched woman to walk up and him say, "Can you give me a drink of water?" She says, "The well's deep and you ain't got nothing to draw from." He said, "Yeah, but if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask of me and I'd give you a drink of water. Thank God that'd spring up into everlasting life." He was weak enough to need some water, but he was the water of life. He was weak enough, thank God, to need a rest, but he was able to give her rest for her soul.
Amen.
And one Friday evening, he hung in weakness on an old rugged cross, straining to get breath. And in his humanity, he dropped the locks of his shoulders and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And they laid him in a tomb for 3 days. And for 3 days he laid there in weakness. His body did anyway. That's a whole nother message I ain't got time for. His body laid there in weakness. But Brother Ed, thank God, did. He stepped out. On Sunday morning, did. He stepped out. Thank God he laid there in weakness Saturday night. But thank God he rose up in power Sunday morning. I'm just trying to tell you. He knows what you're dealing with, but he can change your situation. He descended so that he could relate, but he ascended so he could fix our problems. The number one being that we could not get to God, he came to us so that we could follow him back to the Father. Amen. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Let me give you one more. Verse number 2. A minister of the sanctuary. He's seated in authority. He's seated in power. He's seated in having accomplished the work. And yet, Lance, he's a minister. That just simply means a servant. He's doing ministerial work. Now, wait a minute, Brother Perry. You said he sat down because there was no work to be done. When there was nothing, he spoke. And it came into existence. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. You know what? He didn't lift a finger. He didn't get up off the throne. He spoke and it was done. So it's not a problem for him to be seated and be at work at the same time. He speaks. And things happen. Amen. And he is a minister. He is in authority, and yet he's ministering. Who's he ministering on the behalf of?
You and I.
Me. He's ministering in the sanctuary and the true tabernacle,
oh, yeah,
which God pitched and not man.
Amen.
Speaks of His activity.
Oh, yeah.
He's active.
Oh, yeah.
He's seated, but He's working.
Sure.
He's in authority and on the throne, but He's ministering.
Oh, yeah.
And is that not what He said He came to do?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't come to be ministered unto, but I came to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. He came to be our minister and seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high is our minister daily interceding.
Amen.
And mediating.
Right.
And advocating.
Come on.
On our behalf. Chapter 7, verse number 25, seeing He ever liveth, we'll get there in just a minute, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us.
Yeah.
He's always.
Yeah.
He's always active.
Sure.
That's what gripes me about some. I wish some songwriters would read their Bible a little more.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
They talk about, well, God's going to be on the move again. He didn't stop moving.
No.
He's rolling up his sleeves again. He never rolled them down.
Right, come on.
He's not sitting on his hands. He's always at work.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And He's ever living to make intercession.
Oh, yeah.
He's a mediator of a better covenant. We read that verse number 6.
Sure.
He's negotiating the terms of the new covenant.
Oh, yeah.
How's He negotiating? Father, they can't measure up.
Yeah.
They can't do it. The only thing wrong with the law was that it was weak through the flesh.
Yeah.
Your flesh and mine.
Oh, yeah.
And so He's negotiating. They can't do it, so I will.
Yeah.
They can't pay the price, so I will.
Yeah.
They can't be holy, so I'm going to give them my holiness.
Amen.
They can't be righteous, so I'm going to give them my righteousness. He's our mediator. He's negotiating the terms of our covenant with the Father.
Yeah.
My little children, I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's advocating on our behalf.
Oh, yeah.
So that when I stumble and fall.
Oh, yeah.
Chapter number 2 says He's not ashamed to call us brethren.
No, that's good.
And so my advocate, my defense attorney, sees my mistake.
Oh, yeah.
And goes to the judge and says, He don't measure up, but I've fulfilled what He can't.
Oh, yeah.
He's messed up, but He's one of mine, and I paid the penalty for His sins. He's messed up, but He's come. He's come. Thank God, confessing His sin. And so we made a promise that if He confess His sins, that I'm faithful and just to forgive Him of His sins and cleanse Him from all unrighteousness. We made a promise that whoso covereth His sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. And He's come confessing. And so, Father, we pour out mercy upon Him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's ministering on our behalf. We have such an high priest. And so tonight, when we come before the throne of grace, we come welcomed.
Oh, yeah.
Can I read you this? Chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Ain't that what He said in chapter 8?
Mm-hmm.
Said He's ministering, a minister in the sanctuary and the true tabernacle which God pitched and not man. Uncle Wayne, I don't have to make a trip to Jerusalem.
Come on.
I don't have to make a trip to Mecca.
Right.
I don't have to make a trip to the Vatican. There's a one who has passed into the true tabernacle that God pitched. He's not ministering in pictures and types. He's ministering in the fulfillment of it. He's not ministering in the earthly. He's ministering in the heavenly. And so I can find a place, Brother Dwayne, at the throne of grace. Thank God, in Scottsboro, Alabama, I can find a place at the throne of grace on the side of Woods Cove Road. I can find a place at the throne of grace at an old-fashioned altar. Thank God, I can find the place because He's passed into the heavens. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, because we have a high priest, because we have such an high priest, because we have a great high priest, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Paul says, because you have this high priest, let us come boldly. Come on in. Come on in to the presence of God. Come on in to the throne of grace. Come on in to our mediator and intercessor. Come on in to the Son of God who's seated at the right hand of the Father. Come on in. And He has said that we can come boldly. Brother Stanley, when I go to Hancock Drive, Brother Ed, I just open the door and go in. Yep. Because I know who owns the house.
Oh, yeah.
And we're on good terms. Amen?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
So, Brother Joe, I just open the door and come on in. How much more can we go in to the presence of God? Because we know who owns the throne.
Oh, yeah.
And He's home.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
And we have an open invitation. And not only that, He removed the veil.
Oh, yeah.
And opened it up.
Yeah.
And said, come on. But better than that, He takes us by the hand and leads us in.
Amen.
Yes, sir, brother.
Amen.
Yep.
So I don't go in alone.
No, sir. Right
there. I go in with
Come
Him.
On, Come on.
And He goes in with me. Amen. Thank God we can come boldly into the throne of grace.
Right.
Seeing we have such an high priest, we can come tonight. To one who descended that He may ascend. To one who took upon Himself humanity so He could make us a son of God. And we come to one, Brother Mike, who is seated in authority. And He can change things. And can I just be honest with you tonight. We as a church,
oh, yeah. Come on.
We have no shortage of things to take before the throne of grace tonight.
Oh, you're right, brother. You're exactly right.
But Brother Randy, we can go with confidence.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have such an high priest. Brother Joe, I'm done.
Amen. Copy verse of Solomon.